Xavier Cannon. I'm director of the Museum of Photography in Charleroi in Belgium, but I'm as well the curator of the exhibition and the author of the catalogue. This exhibition is the first time we set it. So Moore will host an exhibition we have never been shown before. It's an exhibition for 100 photos, more a kind of 20 documents, so about, let's say, 150 works to be seen. A lot of people know about the paintings of Magritte, someone really famous around the world, but nobody knows exactly who was the man with the bowler hat. So it will give something more familiar about Magritte through his documents. But it's not only about family album, it's also about the way Magritte uses the photography as models for his paintings, but in a lot of photos it's really creation. Some photos doesn't exist as a painting. So it's a kind of new approach of René Magritte's works with original photo, how he uses the photography technique as he uses the painter technique. So it's really connected with the state of mind of René Magritte.
So he was one of the first artists to use photography in his development process.
Yeah. Because for many years he have done photos, but he never show his own photos. He never expose his own photo, never reproduce it. And those photos have been rediscovered in the early 80s. Because no one paid attention to this photo. People were thinking about documents only, portrait. And more the time came, more we know about Magritte, more we go through his letters, through his sketch, we discover that it was another way to approach the painting. So these are very important, not only documents, but very important facts to understand Magritte painting.
So he had a background as a commercial artist, I believe, which is very influenced in his style, this sort of photorealistic but dreamlike, clean, crisp images. Also at this time there were a lot of theories on psychology and subconscious running around with the work of Freud, and also between the First and Second World Wars. So I'm assuming historically this was a great period of change in Europe with the rise of the avant-garde.
You're right. First of all, Magritte has been trained as a painter, but as he couldn't make his living with that kind of painting, he had to work in advertising. He do some poster, he do some drawings for companies. He doesn't like that work, you know. He just have to make his living. We have to remember that till the 50s, Magritte wasn't well known around the world. He didn't sell very much his paintings. For many years, his wife, Georgette, have to work in a shop to help the couple to survive. So Magritte doesn't like to make advertising, but you're right when you say that the way he paint directly, he paint his images are probably influenced by the advertising. Probably I should say that the advertising in the next years were very influenced by Magritte images because they are straight, they are direct. There is no details that doesn't work. You know, Magritte goes as fast he can to the problem he paint. And that's maybe which make him the most important artist in the 20th century, to my own eyes, with Marcel Duchamp, for instance, that is not about painting. It's about philosophy. It's about poetry. What is the world we surround us? What is the object we are using? Does we know very well the things which are all familiar things around us? And the question of René Magritte is that, is the world we surround us is really the world? There is something behind. We always need to go further. You always need to question the reality to see what's back on the reality.
So I really question logic and reason and physics and perspective and scale in his work. He was very playful messing with physics and this sort of classical perspective. What was his influence on pop culture and advertising as we know it?
I think pop culture came right after. If you look through all the vinyls we had print in the 60s, in the 70s, they use a lot of Magritte images. Look, for instance, on the Rolling Stones movie, they make a citation of the Rapture, Le Viol, which is a very famous painting of René Magritte. He get an influence on people like Andy Warhol, which pay a tribute a lot of time to René Magritte's work. So I really think that he was probably one of the first to point out the familiar items we have around us. You were mentioning games as well. You know, when a kid plays, when the boys play and the girl play, it's a form of knowledge. It's a way to understand the world all around. And Magritte liked to play. He looks as a serious man in his paintings, but when you look around the photos, when you look around the movies, he's always acting and playing. He paid tribute to the movies he saw when he was a young boy. He was born in 1898, so he discovered the movies when the movies at the very early beginning of the industry. So René Magritte always played, but it was rather a kind of serious game. It's not only to play, it's only to play to discover. And that's why he involved all the Belgian surrealist group that we will discover on this photo. They were not only friends, they were accomplices.
In this exhibition, what photo or what element stands out to you as being the most interesting?
This is a wonderful photo. The shadow and its shadow, which shows René Magritte back to his wife. We can only see the half part of René's face. He holds her by the arms, and their eyes are on the same line. So it's like the shadow of his wife, but also the half part of his wife's face. So it's like a mix between the two faces in one person. And it's also a kind of definition about what their couple was, but also about what love was for the surrealists, something stronger than the war, something stronger than all the things that could happen, you know? This is a wonderful photo. As the paintings of René Magritte, it looks very simple, but it took a long, long, long way to come to this idea.
Well, it's a very progressive and modern photo for a man to be standing behind a woman like that.
And mostly for men who were born before the 20th century. The culture of this kind of man was rather machist, you know, in a couple. They were very different than the other people. They pay a lot of attention to their wife. They involve their wife in the activities, you know.
And looking at some of these photos, they're not just sort of standard posing, looking at the camera. He's often got strange perspectives.
Right. And that one is always with Georgette. It's a sketch for a painting we know, the Queen Semiramis. But this photo is so well done, so perfect, that is not only the model or the sketch for another painting, it's a kind of single work of art, all alone, totally independent. And it's so sad when we see in this kind of photography that he doesn't practice much more photography. He didn't want it to be a photographer. He didn't want it to cross to another one hands to make his photos. But it's a wonderful work of art, you know.
Well, he seems to shoot in puzzle pieces, that gestalt theory that your brain fills in the rest of the photo and you have to use your imagination as a viewer.
Yeah, exactly. You know, René Magritte was a productive painter, but he took much more time to think about his painting. That was very important when you read all his letters, how he came to the solution of a problem. Let's take an example. Everyone knows this famous Les Vacances de Hegel. It's a 1954 painting, an umbrella with a glass of water. Mm-hmm. And when you read some letters he wrote to his own friend, to Scutenaire, to Marianne, he explained with drawings how you approach the solution. You first put the umbrella in the glass of water, and then he was looking how he can make a neutralization in the two objects. So it's clear when we see a painting of René Magritte, but we don't know how much time he get to the solution. And when you read all the letters, and when you see as well some of the photos, you just figure out that he let some idea, he leave it, because he couldn't express it so strongly, you know.
He gives questions and clues rather than answers.
It's an open work. That's the reason he never gave so much explication about his own paintings, and that he gave some titles about his painting, which are sometimes difficult to understand. He doesn't want to give the keys of his painting. You are obliged to come in his paintings, and he doesn't give you a hand. Paul Nouget wrote about this, that when you understand the paintings of René Magritte, you're not only a spectator, you became an accomplice.